This afternoon's lesson is titled, Jesus Above All Else. When we think about our busy schedules we have, we can all, I'm sure, relate to either your schedule is busy or used to be busy or is getting busier. I am at the stage in my life where my schedule is really busy, balancing four kids, careers, church, all kinds of things going on. So our calendars tend to fill up, and I think we all need to be careful on where we place our priorities. And more importantly, I guess, when those priorities are standing in the way of Christ. So this lesson is just a friendly reminder for all of us to be careful, because it can be easy to become complacent and put things in front of the church. And so as a Christian, in this day and age, it's very easy to let things get carried away and let things get in between us. So putting Jesus above all else, I thought, was a good reminder for myself and for any of us. So in Luke chapter 14, those verses 25 through 35 are going to be the majority of my lesson today. So if you want to open up your Bible to Luke 14, we'll be there quite a bit. We'll go back and forth to these verses. Luke chapter 14, starting there in verse 25, I'm going to read these 10 verses. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." These words that we have here give us several different criteria. These verses were spoke at the height of Christ's popularity. Multitudes were following him. They were listening to what he was saying. Verse 25 says that the great multitudes were along with him. There were lots of people here. Wherever he went, there were crowds. We probably see that today with certain things, whether it's a sporting event or certain speakers. They have large crowds that attend their gatherings or their conferences or whatever they may be. Wherever Jesus went, there were signs, there were miracles, there were teachings unlike any other that anybody had heard or seen of. So he was very popular at this time. Now, there are people that at this time that really didn't like what he was saying either, but he had a huge following. Being with him, I can't imagine, would have been very exciting. It would have been very rewarding. Could you imagine being part of that group? That when Jesus spoke, you were there to hear it. You saw him personally. It would be easy to probably fall into a trap of thinking that because I'm here, because I believe, because I'm with Jesus, that I was a disciple. I was being a good disciple. But being a disciple doesn't necessarily mean that you're just following the crowd. So there's a lot of sacrifices that do take place. And some of those sacrifices might be our day-to-day activities if they come between us and the church. Jesus, he was on the verge of his most spectacular public event. I mean, he was going into Jerusalem and was should have had a warm welcome and a large crowd cheering him coming in. And I think at this time, with the crowd getting larger and the following, that he's about to give some rules or conditions. It's not just going to be simply that you can follow and walk with me, but there's going to be some sacrifices that's going to have to be made. So, one of those, above all else means what? So if we put Jesus above all else, it means that we love Jesus more than any other person. More than any other person. It would help. It will be in just a moment. Okay, so looking back at the first two verses that we read here in chapter 14, above all else means love Jesus more than any other person. He says here, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus mentioned some of the closest people that we have, some of the most important relationships a person can have on this earth, with our parents, our spouse, our children. And does he say that we should, when we get to the point of hating them or loving Jesus more, that we should just ignore them and treat them horribly? No, not at all. But if something should happen that they would come between us and worshiping, then our decision should be Christ. He says in his own words here, he says that we should hate these people, but like we've explained, it's from them getting in between us. Jesus demands his disciples place their own lives below the love for him. And I think we can all agree that's probably easier for us to do against ourselves than it is for someone else that we love, is to say that, you know, I would die for Christ if that's what it took. I hope none of us ever encounter that challenge, but that is what it takes. We need to love Jesus more. One would ask, so is this a parable that he's given us? Is this just a story that he's using to explain it? Or is it actually possible to love Jesus more than, you know, our direct family or ourselves? So a couple examples. Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Gideon went against his father in tearing down pagan altars in order to respect and obey God. So he did choose between what was right and what his father wanted. Gideon chose the right thing. What about Abraham when he was ready to sacrifice his own son in response to God's commandment? There we look in Genesis 22 and verse 10. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. That's choosing Jesus over family. That's choosing God. Paul, in 2 Timothy 4, and there in verse 6, Paul the Apostle willingly gave up his life in a martyrdom in order to further the cause of Christ. He sacrificed. The Hebrew writer speaks out there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32 through 40. Countless women and men who gave up their families and their very own lives in order to remain true to God and his promises. So is this a parable or is this possible? It is possible to love Jesus more than any other person. Discipleship here is a two-way street, and Jesus gives up his life for us, so we should give ours for him. We should be willing to dedicate our life to him. He died for us. We owe him that. Discipleship here means more than just observing Jesus or talking about him. It requires us to make him the being who is above any others. And that includes ourselves. Just because we go out and preach the word doesn't mean we act it or live it. And we should. So above all else also means being ready to suffer. We look at verse 27 there. Back in Luke 14, verse 27 says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Bearing our cross means that we are suffering for the cause. You know, Jesus didn't say that it would be easy to be a disciple, but he said that it'd be well worth it. We have a reward. And as long as we can do what is required of us, we will receive that award. Being a Christian does not mean we're going to be guaranteed a good, perfect life on earth. Doesn't mean the world's going to treat us differently in a good way. We might be treated negatively, but it doesn't mean we're going to be treated, you know, better because we become a Christian. It does, however, guarantee us an opportunity for that eternal life in heaven. And actually, Jesus tells his disciples that the only guarantee for this life is that there will be a cross to carry. We will have a cross to bear. And we see that throughout Scripture. How many times did the apostles suffer persecutions? Paul was beaten and imprisoned and left for dead and stoned. And so there were several things that he went through. He carried his cross. But we have to carry it all the way to the end. And from the very beginning, Jesus warned us that there would be a price to pay to become a Christian. It is a sacrifice. For some, that price would mean persecution and death. For many, it meant isolation from family or society. Maybe some of you have experienced that, maybe not. Family members separate from you because of your belief or you following the word. Maybe you chose to separate because of something that stood between you and the church and doing God's will. For all, it means the daily struggle to do what the Lord has taught us. To give into the flesh or go along with what's easy or popular, we have to deny those things. There are so many temptations out there, and all of these temptations are winnable, I guess. May not be the right word for it, but there's always a way out. But it might not be what we wanted. It might not be our plans. And so suffering in that instance, even on a minor scale, might just be the fact that we weren't happy with the decision we made, but we knew it was the right one. May miss out on a ball game or something if you wanted to go to it on a Sunday rather than coming to church, but you chose to come to church, and that's the important part. Doesn't mean that anybody's going to punish us for not going to the ball game, just something we wanted to do. But there can be something that separates us if we choose the wrong thing. But putting Jesus above all automatically means that we will suffer sooner or later in one way or another, whether it's extreme or not. We will suffer something. Jesus does require his disciples to not be surprised because it's expected. The Bible tells us that we will have persecutions. Not to be surprised or discouraged. We can be, Paul was joyous even when under persecution, because he knew that he was being persecuted for the cause of Christ. We can't be impatient. We're on God's terms. We're on his timeline. So suffering for us might not be maybe the fact that we're not getting a prayer answered just in time or in our timely manner. It's not our call. Above all else also requires counting the cost of discipleship. Going back there into Luke chapter 14, starting there in verse 28, and down to verse 32, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." This is a parable to help understand the point of it takes preparation to be a disciple, to understand the commitment. A man fails to complete this building of a tower because he didn't take the time to calculate the total cost. And because he failed at what he set out to do, it reflected directly upon him. And he was being judged or ridiculed by those around him who saw his failure. So we, as a disciple of Christ, need to understand that what we have accepted takes work, takes preparation. And when we fail, people see that. A king will consider his options when facing another when it looks at the battles, the parable here, whether to fight or negotiate. If you know you can't win, it's time to negotiate. Or you go into a battle that nobody's going to, that none of your side's going to come out of. Now, the point here is that neither one had what it took to achieve the task. Neither one of these parables, the men or the army, or the king, didn't understand what it was going to take to finish the task that they set out to do. The warning is that we better carefully examine what is required of a disciple. And the cost that is very high, not everyone understands what it requires and everything that it goes into. When Jesus calls a man, he calls a man to die. And we know that in baptism, we put off the old man and put on new. And from that point on, we deny self and we take up our cross. Doesn't mean you can't have things you like to do, but those things can't come between you and Christ. We have to have our priorities set. So if Christ is not put above all else, they're like salt without taste. Look at verse 34. It says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out." This is a warning that we as Christians and disciples are salt of the earth. We are seasoning for God's word. What the things we do, the things we say, helps put a good taste in other people's mouths who see us. And they see us as Christ-like. If we become bitter or of no taste like salt, then we're really not worth much to the cause. And salt isn't just used for flavoring. It's in other chemical makeup and everyday things that we use. There's salt in all kinds of stuff. And so we can kind of look at the same thing as just the way we carry ourselves or our reputation and things like that can directly reflect positively on the church or negatively. And so we have to be like flavorful salt, going about and seasoning the world. This is what gives a disciple power, is to be able to season. This is what helps glorify Christ, helps confirm the genuineness of our faith by putting Christ above all. The last verse there, the last part of verse 35. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some might not consider this an invitation, but I think it's a very good one. When we look at this, we think about Christ wants everyone to hear this message that he just gave. And I agree. But he says, "Hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, if you can understand what I'm saying, that it takes sacrifice, it takes commitment, it takes planning, then do it. Follow through with what I say. Becoming a Christian is being part of a loving congregation. It's wonderful. It is our family. You can say it's extended family. You can say it's our spiritual family, but we're family. It's such a blessing to have that group of people that have the same thoughts, the same likenesses, same beliefs. It allows us to enjoy our busy schedules in a way that no others can, because we do have Christ forefront. We can enjoy fellowship, gatherings, whatever we do together. But it shows that we have Christ first. But again, don't think that this is an easy task. Don't let the word easy fool us, because it is work. If we love Jesus more, it can make it easier, because we've dedicated ourselves. But it does require, Christianity does require us to put Jesus first, above all, above everyone else. It requires us a readiness to follow, no matter what we may suffer. It requires a calculated understanding of the task at hand. So, that is my lesson for you today. As a Christian, and knowing there's fellow Christians here in the room, I hope and pray that we are all have our priorities straight, and we have placed Jesus above all. I believe we have. We're all sitting here today in church services and gathering together. It is a blessing to be amongst everyone. But if you're not a Christian here, and you want to be, or you feel like that is something you should do, and you've weighed the cost, and you understand the sacrifices, and you understand that the work it's going to take to stay steadfast, which is not easy, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be hard times, but understanding that all of them, we can prevail at no matter what it is, then now's a good time. We have a baptistry ready. It's always ready. It's that important. The water is prepared to accept anyone who is willing to follow through with primary obedience. If there's something you can take care of at your seat, just between you and God, then by all means, now's the time. We don't want to walk out of this building and our life, for whatever reason, comes to an end and we were not set right. So if there's any way we can help, please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.
Would you have him there?